another nice day, and just wanted to give God all the glory, the praise, and the honor for that. I know it's kind of cold out there for some people, but you know, it's still another day where we all have a chance to get right with God and repent and be right with Him. And why don't we just go ahead and just give this over to prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. We thank you, Lord God, for your presence, the purpose and plan that you would have for us this day. Oh, Lord God, to do all that is right, good, and pleasing in your sight, we pray now. To God be the glory, the praise. I pray the Holy Ghost to be here today now. Oh, Lord God, that you would be glorified and magnified. We invite the Lord Jesus Christ, for we can do nothing apart from thee. Lord God, we give you, O Lord God, all the due praise and honor that is due your name, even now, even in our hearts. Lord God, as we lift up our hands and hearts to thee, Lord God, nothing can compare to thy glory. And Lord God, we pray now that we would have a heart zealous for thee. O Lord God, a heart that is right, free from sin. O Lord God, and all the trappings of sin that lead people astray, that lead people, Lord God, to have a lukewarm walk with you. O Lord God, we come against all the wicked devices of the devil right now. O Lord God, we come against every demon, wicked, foul spirit that would seek to interfere with this service. We pray your blessing and anointing upon it. Oh Lord God, I pray that you would help us, oh Lord, as we praise and worship you in song and worship. That you would anoint that, Lord God. Move upon people's hearts and speak to them, I pray. Convict and convince, oh Lord God, of sin. Convict and convince, oh Lord God, of warm, lukewarm hearts. Lord God, that you would one day spew out of your mouth. Because it is an abomination unto thee. Help us, Lord God, to have a heart of zeal, to be on fire for thee, to have a heart committed, living largely, O Lord God, for thy purpose and for thy glory. In Jesus' name we pray under the blood. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Oh, praise God. Amen. Well, good to see everyone. And I'm a little sore today. My neck. The devil always tries to do something on Sundays. Every time I'm up here, there's always some kind of an attack. Somehow, it seems, that you know you have to overcome. But they're not only the physical, but the spiritual. There are many things that you have to overcome when you come up here. And I'm sure that you have to overcome many things as well when you just come to church. Because the devil doesn't want you to be here. And so, why don't we all come to the Lord with open hearts, and sorrow for sin, and a heart that is ready to be right with the Lord, to repent, to live for Him at all costs. Amen. That's the only thing that matters in this life. The only thing that is worth living for and dying for. Amen. So, let's go there. I don't know, do we have... Jane, do you know if that song, Jesus I Come, is that in the Melodies of Praise, do you know, Shirley? Jesus, I Come. Yes, 321, you say? Okay. Why don't, if you could go to 321, there we go. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Wonderful. Let's go to that song, Jesus, I Come. And sing that today. did sorrow and night. Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come into thy freedom, gladness, and light. Jesus, I come to thee. Out of my sickness into thy health, out of my want and into thy wealth, out of my sin and into thyself, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of my shameful failure and loss, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come into the glorious at the cross. Jesus, I come to thee. Out of her sorrows into thy balm, out of life's storms and into thy calm, out of distress to jubilant psalm, into the to thee. Out of unrest and arrogant pride, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come into thy blessed will to abide. Jesus, I come to thee. Out of myself to dwell in thy love, out of despair to glory above, up to the wings like a dove. Jesus, I come to thee. Out of the fear and dread of the tomb, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come into the joy and light of thy home. Jesus, I come to thee. Out of the depths of ruin untold, into the peace of sheltering hope, enter thy glorious face to behold. Jesus, I come to thee. Praise God. Praise God. And don't be afraid to lift your hands. Amen. Lift your hands and your hearts. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. You know, there's a thing which I wanted to talk to you a little bit about. The other day, Shirley and I were at Faith House praying, as usual, and Shirley was checking her emails, and a friend of hers sent some information that led me to think about the message that I'd be doing today. I'm not doing that right now, but just to, talk to you just a bit here about the counterfeit feel-good church theory out there that's going on. The issue with the new movie out there called, what's it called? It's Another Gospel. It's the Son of God, that movie here. And in the movie, I just briefly want to kind of read to you a little bit about the gist of it all and how that this counterfeit church, feel-good philosophy is nothing new, but it's taking on a new turn. It's taking on more depth. It's taking on more of a carnal nature like never before. It says here, in this article here, it says, an amazing thing is happening across the land. Jesus Christ is being reinvented. Right in front of our eyes, and hardly anyone seems to notice or care. The movie Son of God is, to some people say, is cool, well-made, gritty, authentic, and emotionally connective, said Roma Downey, who, by the way, was in that movie called Touched by an Angel, and you have to wonder, touched by what angel, right? And we wanted to make an amazing theatrical experience to people who perhaps have never been exposed to the story of Jesus or the Bible. It goes on to say here, last year I was contacted by a media group for the History Channel. They emailed me requesting my help in promoting their upcoming 10-episode miniseries called The Bible. Well, this is another guy here, I think his name is Warren Smith or something, who they called. And he said, I kindly telling them that due to the unbiblical nature of the series, I was unable to help promote it. And then here's another phase of this article here. It says, it's going down here. I know in the scripture there are only 12 apostles, all men. But in the film, there are 13 apostles, and the 13th apostle is a woman named Mary. Mother or Jesus, played by Roma Downey. Not only is she with always with them, but she is with them in the boat during the storm when Jesus walked on the water. In Scripture, when one of the disciples are marveling at the architecture of the temple, Jesus says, "Do you not see these buildings? There will not be one left here, one stone upon the other." But in the movie, no one is marveling at anything. When Jesus sees a little girl in the crowd, he kneels down to her, smiles, chuckles, and playfully pokes at the little girl in the belly, and who giggles as Jesus quotes scripture. The filmmakers take this powerful and frightening prophecy and turn it into a light and impish exchange with a little girl. In the movie, Jesus never mentions the just penalty for sin, or that we need to be made into new creations through repentance and faith in Christ. This is just some of the carnage that's in that movie. And this is what people are left with. That's your gospel today in most churches. Barren, dry, weak, sick and sorry. Oh, we need to be revived in the Spirit of Christ, covered in the blood of Jesus, with a heart to be truly changed, open, a desire to have a zeal to follow after the Lord and to obey His word. Oh, how we need to be revived. Amen. Why don't we sing that song, number 291, Revive Us Again. 291 in the hymn book.
We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, now the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory, revive us again. We praise Thee, O God, for Thy Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior, and scattered aright. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God in heaven. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Revive us, O Lord. Give us hearts, O God, to serve you, a willingness, strength, hope, and purpose in you, Lord God. Change us, O Lord God. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Cover us under the blood of Christ, O Lord God. Help us today to overcome every sin, death, and all the things of this earth, all the material goods, O Lord God. All the temptations, O Lord God. Help us to overcome. Oh, dear God, give us a victory by faith. Oh, in Jesus' name, Lord God. Jesus' name, Lord God, help us. Oh, Lord. And the problem is today is most people don't know what they believe. They don't know where they're going, what they're doing. They're lost and undone and don't even know it. What's it going to take? What's it going to take to warn people to wake up? Who will listen? Or who will just ignore the warnings found in the Word of God? Easy believism. Counterfeit Christianity. Which, by the way, is no Christianity at all. You can't even use the word Christian on that. Where's the repentance? Where's the zeal for God? Oh, my Lord God. Why don't we go to number 278. There's a song called there. I Know Whom I Have Believed. 278. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me he had in part, nor how believing in his word wrought peace within my heart. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I
know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in Him. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know not what of good or ill may be reserved for me, of weary ways or golden days before His face I see. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come, at night or noonday fair, nor if I'll walk the veil with Him or meet Him in the air. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Thank you, Lord God. Praise God in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. If you have arms and hands to raise, feel free to do so. Feel free to do so in the presence of God Almighty, in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Raise your hands and your hearts. Amen. Don't be afraid to raise your hands and your hearts. Amen. God in heaven, help us. God in heaven. God in heaven. Oh, this weak nation. A weak people. God help us. Oh, God. Oh, God in heaven. Oh, Lord God. Oh, dear God. I got a question for people out there. Is anybody here want to be touched by the Lord?
Yeah.
Anyone?
Yes.
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, and the little children will lead.
Amen. Praise you, Jesus.
That does my heart good to hear that, see that. I really don't care what anyone thinks of me, to be honest with you. I don't give a rip. I don't. I really don't. What I do care is what Jesus thinks. That's all I care about. I want His approval. I don't want the stamp of man's approval. Because anytime you have man clamoring for your approval, or you have people clamoring around you all the time, it's probably a good sign of danger. Probably a good sign of God's disapproval. So if you can bear with messages that come from the heart of God, if you can bear with a message that is straightforward, then praise God. Then you're on the right track. Because you're going to have the devil, the enemy, doing all he can to manipulate your life in any way he can, using friends or family, colleagues, or anyone around you to manipulate how you should think and feel. I'm not about to do that. I just care what the Lord wants, and I think you should too. I think all of us here in this building, all those who are online, should desire to think and feel that way if you have a heart and zeal for God. Let's sing that song 109 in the chorus book. He touched me. He touched me. Let the Lord touch you today.
Yeah.
Amen. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened. And now I know he touched me and made me whole. He touched me, oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened. And now I know he touched me and made me whole. He touched me, oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened. And now I know he touched me and made me whole. Let the Lord touch you today. Let him touch you today. Amen. Praise God. Oh, Lord God. Let your presence come down, Lord God, I pray in Jesus' name. Cover us under the blood, Lord God. Let the Holy Ghost speak to us. Lord God, let your presence come down. Walk the aisles of every heart today, Lord. In Jesus' name, O Lord God. In Jesus' name, O Lord God. Jesus' name, Lord God. Heavenly Father. You know, the Bible says that if we are to name the name of Christ, depart from iniquity. Depart from iniquity. Get the sin out of your life while there's still time. Do right. Repent. Oh, in Jesus' name, help us, Lord God. Help us. Help us. Maybe we can go to 101 now. Faith can move mountains in the chorus book. Faith can move mountains. He can move that mountain of doubt He can move that mountain of fear, worry, fret. He can move that mountain of sin. He can move that thing that might be in your life that's a constant besetting. He can move that thing that continually hinders. He can move it. He can remove it. He can take it out of your life. He knows how to do it. But He's looking for a yielded vessel to reach out and say, Lord, take it away from me, Lord God. Cleanse me. Wash me, O Lord God, in the blood. Wash me and cleanse me. Help me, Lord God. Make me clean. Make me holy, Lord God, to live above reproach. O Lord God, to be unrebukable, unmovable. O Lord God, we pray in Jesus' name. Dear God, help us. Let's sing that song. Faith can move mountains, mountains of fear and of doubt. Faith can move mountains, so why don't you try your faith out? Our faith can move mountains, mountains of fear and of doubt. Our faith can move mountains, so why don't you try your faith out? One more time. And faith can move mountains, mountains of fear and of doubt. Faith can move mountains, so why don't you try your faith out? Praise God. Sin is an enemy of every faith-believing Christian. Sin and reproach. It's a reproach. It's a reproach upon this nation. It's a reproach upon every church out there who claims the name of Christ and lives in hypocrisy. I want nothing to do with it. God help us. God help us today. I can't do anything apart from the Lord. How about you? Right? Do we have power to live aside from Jesus? No, we don't. Not even an inch of power. Not one whit of any kind of power whatsoever. No strength at all without the Lord. That's why people are walking half lunatics out there on the street. People shooting up people, stabbing people, murdering people, doing filthy, wicked things in these bars and concerts. People having sex outside of marriage. Abortion. Homosexuality, which is glorified today. Pathetic. It's pathetic. God help us. Let's go to 98, because He lives. I can face tomorrow. It's only because He lives that we have any hope or opportunity to get right. Let's go there. Number 98 in the chorus. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future. And life is worth the living just because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Praise God in heaven. Thank you, Lord. It's only because He lives that we can live. That's only because He lives that we even have a chance to live. But those who reject the Lord after He's reached out His hand of mercy, after they've rejected Him the last time, it's over. What will happen then? What will happen to that soul? If you read the Word of God, you'll know that that soul has no chance or opportunity after rejecting the Lord. And it goes straight to hell. You stand before the white throne judgment. The throne where the Lord passes out His judgment upon all those who have rejected Jesus, who have crucified Him over and over and over and over again while they lived, by sin, filth, indifference, wickedness of every kind. Unrepentant sinners who have no way, no second chance once they die. It's over with. Oh, how we need the Lord now. Listen, if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, that seals your redemption. Then if I were you, I'd be seeking after the Holy Ghost. I'd be seeking after Him today. Every day. In fact, I wouldn't rest until the Holy Ghost came upon me. I wouldn't rest. I wouldn't give my flesh one moment rest. I wouldn't do it. Not until the Holy Ghost came. This is between life and death. That's how important that is. Life and death. Okay. It's a song that we decided not to go with yesterday. Yeah, we did. We did. It's got a lot of hitches in there that we decided not to go with it the other day. We were trying to practice that song and we could try it. I mean, if you want to, well, what do you want to do, Shirley?
Well, I think the children will help us.
Okay, if we want to sing that and do the best we can here. Remember the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now I know that the Lord saved His anointed. all hear him in his holy heaven, with the saving strength of his right hand, they are brought down and fallen. The trusted chariots and summoned horses, but we will remember the name of our God. Some trusted chariots and summoned horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Praise God. Amen. It's got a good message to it, but I have a hard time with the keeping up with the words on that one. It's a little wordy for me. But it's a good song. It's I like the words. Try it again. Some trusted chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trusted chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now I know that the Lord saved his anointed. He will hear him in his holy heaven, with the saving strength of his right hand. They are brought down and fallen, but some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trusted chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Amen. Praise God. Okay, well, let's get back here now. Sing one more song before we turn it over. Have Faith in God, number 39 in the chorus.
Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. Oh, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. Oh, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Rob, could I get you to be gracious to take up the tithe and offering? If anybody has anything that they care to share, please feel free to raise your hand. Amen. Feel free to raise your hand. If there's anything you want to share, testimony or what the Lord might be doing, a prayer request, or anything of that nature. Amen. Thank you. Okay, well, just going to pray now. Lord God in heaven, we give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. And Lord, I lift up these tithes, gifts, and offerings, and I pray that you would help us to continue to be good stewards using this to thy glory, purpose, and plan. I pray, Lord God, that you would help us to be faithful, continue to be faithful. I pray now the blood of Jesus Christ over this sermon. The blood of Jesus Christ over every eye, every ear, every heart. All those who are listening online. All those who are here today. I come against every wicked devil and demon that would try to interfere in any way. Let it be cast down to the ground and have nowhere to operate here. I pray in Jesus' name under the blood that the Lord would be with us today. Oh, that the devil could not come and steal the word from the hearers, because we know that the word of God does not return void. We pray in Jesus' name under the blood. Oh, Lord God, be with us today. You are truly invited. We pray and amen. Praise God. Thank you, Shirley. And thank you, Sam. The name of the message today is called A Zealous Heart for God. I guess that would be a good one to go with, maybe. A Zealous Heart for God. Amen. And I'm hoping that we could start off in the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. This is a little bit of a different break. I'm deviating from my series in first, or I'll be starting 2 Samuel, but because of the, this kind of led to this, Shirley and I were talking at the Faith House the other day and kind of going over some stuff that that letter that she found from her friend. And the Lord started working on me in an area to go to for this message. And it was from that I got this message. And of course, A Zealous Heart Towards God is the name of the message. And we know that today, turmoil is a constant affliction to many and much of the world today. Unrest, wars, homosexuality, militant homosexuality running rampant, abortion everywhere, scandals, pollution, financial difficulties, hardships of every kind, leading many to say, these are the days of trouble. These are the days of trouble. And truly they are. You know, I want to read something before we get into Proverbs here. I want to read something that, along with that letter, was a interview that Obama had with someone. Bear with me here as I read this. You know, in Isaiah chapter 5, 20 and 21, it says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Amen? Who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Woe unto them who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Here we have an article that I want to read in this. It says here, is this person was asking Obama a question. says here, with the word, okay. When facades clash, in fact, the skeptic would be wise to check the records. So let's take a fresh look at Obama's 2004 interview with Kathleen Felsani. Do any of his stated beliefs actually match biblical truth? It says here. And here it says, this is Obama now. I am a Christian. Oh, by the way, the same people who made that movie, The Son of God, Roma and her husband, Downey, said that, oh, we love Obama. He's a true Christian. We love Obama. And you see how diluted and dark people's understanding is today? The deserving of a fence post? Here, it says here, Obama, I am a Christian, so I have a deep faith. I'm rooted in the Christian tradition. I believe that there are many paths to the same place. Well, that's directly contrary to the Word of God, isn't it?
Amen.
And the Bible says there's only one way.
Right.
And that's to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There's only one gate. There's only one way. And that is a belief that there is a higher power, he said. A belief that we are connected as a people. Here's Felsani asked him a question here. Have you always been a Christian? He says here, I was raised more by my mother, and my mother was a Christian, a deeply spiritual person, and who would spend a lot of time talking about values and give me books about the world's religions. The other question she wrote is, so you got yourself born again? Oh yeah. And I'm not somebody who's always comfortable with language that implies I've got a monopoly on the truth. I'm a big believer in tolerance. I think that religion is, at its best, comes with a big dose of doubt. You imagine that. Felsani, do you have people in your life that you look to for guidance? Well, my pastor, Jeremiah Wright, is certainly someone who I have an enormous amount of respect for. I'm a great admirer of the founding charter and its resolve to prevent disruptive strains of fundamentalism from taking root in this country, which means you and me, which means true biblical truth. Felsani, do you believe in heaven? Obama, do I believe in harps and clouds and wings? If I live my life as well as I can, I will be rewarded. Oh yeah, he'll be rewarded. What is sin? He writes, or she asks. Being out of alignment with my values, is what he said. Being out of alignment with my values. The values of a dog. Felsani, an example of a role model who combined everything you said you want to do in your life and your faith. He says, I think Gandhi is a great example of a profoundly spiritual man who never slipped into intolerance or dogma. I heard that and I just couldn't believe my ears. Shirley was reading that to me when I was sitting down at the Faith House. I got to get this. I said, I got to have this. This is what they call Christianity. This is what people listen to today. This is who Obama thinks he's a Christian and calls himself a Christian. And he's completely deceived. Woe unto them that call good evil and evil good. Here he is, anti-Christian, anti-Christ, anything anti-Bible. Anything that's in the Bible, he's against. And he calls himself a believer. It's not true. He's not a true man of God.
No.
He's a liar. And so is everyone that names the name of Christ who walks in hypocrisy. They say one thing and they do another. Well, let's go here now, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 4. Let's go to verse 4, I guess. Okay, here we have a verse that he says here, "He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live." But you see, today ignorance is a bondage. It's a value. The ignorant man doesn't know how much or how to shape his course, does he? The ignorant man is valueless. He doesn't have direction. Doesn't have a wherewithal. It says here in verse 5, "Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth." You know, wisdom of the Bible is very practical. It's intimately connected with what? The fear of God. That's where wisdom is. "Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee." Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. You can't have wisdom without understanding. And you can't have understanding without wisdom. "Exalt her. She shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor. Then thou dost embrace her." When thou dost embrace her. It doesn't say if, it says when. I like that because it says that it's there to be had if you just receive it. Amen? "And she shall give to thine head an ornament." An ornament of what? Grace. "A crown of glory," it says here. "Shall she deliver to thee? Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." Well, to receive the Lord's sayings means one thing: obedience. It means it's a narrow path. But that narrow path is the safest path to be on. The broad road, which leads to death, leaves you all haggard, full of folly and rebellion. It causes you to walk in a dishonest way, sometimes not even knowing it. It's your disposition in life. And therefore, we need God's wisdom. We need His understanding. "I have taught thee," in verse 11, "I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths." That means we were instructed. Instructed by the Word of God, by His Spirit. The Bible is here to be had if people will just read the Word of God and let Jesus speak to your heart. Be instructed. Be warned. Be strengthened. It says here in verse 12, "When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble." Amen? Holding fast takes a great effort, doesn't it? It says here in verse 13, "Take hold, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life." Holding fast takes a great effort today. It doesn't come naturally. What has been won in your life could very easily be lost. The ground gained in your fight could easily be given back. You can give that ground back to the devil if you so choose. And he can overrun and overrule your life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not into the way of evil men. It says here, 15, avoid it. Pass not by it. In other words, resist temptation, and it will have to flee. Resist, shun, avoid. You know, did you know that you become like those you hang out with? When you hang out with a certain crowd of people, did you know that you hang out with them, you begin to think like them and talk like them, dress like them? Did you know that? Pretty soon you're wearing the wares of the world. Pretty soon you're talking like the world. You're thinking like the world. You're acting just like the world. When the Bible says, come out from among them. For they sleep not, except they what? They have done their mischief. You know, the Lord's wisdom in a great way is shown when he instituted the what? The church. For fellowship. One with another. Not with the world. Not with the wares of the world. He instituted the church so that people could come here to be fed, strengthened, helped, instead of going to the world. That's why we're here, to glorify God, to be changed. We're supposed to come to church and walk out a different person.
That's right. Amen. Renew us, Lord.
A different heart. A different way of thinking. Verse 16, for they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they have caused some to fall. Wow. Unless they have caused some to fall. They want people, they go into a church, and they want to engage in conversation. They want to do things with you. Pretty soon they have mischief on their minds. They're introducing and suggesting things that maybe you should do. Maybe you should think about this or think about that. If it doesn't line up with the Bible, forget it. I don't want nothing to do with the wares of the world. How about you? For they eat the bread of wickedness and what? They drink the wine of violence. In verse 17 it says, the wine of violence, where we should be getting rid of the whiskey of the devil and drink the new wine of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen?
Yeah.
We should shun the whiskey of the devil, the hard, harsh drink of the devil, and take in the new wine, the Holy Ghost. Live after righteousness. But the path of the just is as a shining light. Oh, wow.
Amen. Praise God.
You know that every victory over sin is new ground gained. More and more unto the perfect day, it says. That shining more, that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Hey, unless you're growing in the Lord, unless there's growth, there must be death. The stagnant Christian has always been known as a dead Christian. If you're dead, that means that you don't have the life of Christ in you.
That's right.
Verse 20. My son, attend unto my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of what? Thine heart. You know that sin distorts thoughts. It blinds the eyes. It plunges the soul into a stupor of indifference. Did you know that? In ignorance, indifference, sin, an I don't care attitude, you're indifferent to it. Keep thy heart, it says. Wait, in verse 22. For they are life unto those that find them. I like that, it says. They are life to them that find them. And health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. In other words, ward off those immoral thoughts and attitudes. Keep your mind, will, and emotions in line with the Word of God. Avoid walking with them that would have you walk in darkness. Avoid sin at all cost. That means come against it. Fight against it. If you have no desire to live holy, then there's something wrong in your life. If you love sin, then you hate God. Did you know that? If you love sin, then you have a hatred for God. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. In other words, cultivate right principles and priorities in your life. Set your affections on what? On things above. Set your affections on what? The Word of God. Set your affections on being filled with the Holy Ghost. Set your affections on the new city, the new Jerusalem, that's soon coming. Set your affections on being covered by the blood of Christ. On overcoming sin. On overcoming all the temptations that surround you. That coming against family and friends that would soon subvert you. It doesn't mean you hate your family. It means you're taking a stand against them or your friends too. Anyone or anything that the devil will use, he will use to take you down, and he'll use the most intimate way and means to do it. He'll use anything he can to get under your skin spiritually and stay there. And he won't let go until you have to fight him off. He thinks that you're his property. The minute you let sin in your life, the devil thinks that, well, he just opened the door for me. I'm walking right on in now. I'm going to walk right on in and I'm going to have my territory. Now I'm going to decorate my territory. Now I'm going to use my territory the way I want to use it. It says here, verse 25, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. In other words, don't go to the left or to the right. Mm-hmm. Keep your eyes on the Lord. That's right. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Right. When you see these things about to happen on the earth,
amen. That's right.
It's all about to come down and hell is about to be split wide open. And multitudes and multitudes are in the valley of decision.
Right.
Not knowing where to go or what to do. In folly and ignorance everywhere. Wallowing in the cesspit of sin and filth. No remorse. No conviction. No tears for sin. No getting on their knees and crying out to God for mercy and forgiveness. Where is it? Where? Where is it? Everywhere you look, churches are going to get the worst of it. But they should know better. It says here in verse 26, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Ponder your way. Seek to do the good, right thing. You know, years ago, I was talking to Pastor David over the phone. I said, Pastor, how can I be pleasing before God? A searching question. And he said, pray this prayer and mean it every day. Lord God, help me to do all that is right, good, and pleasing in thy sight. Help me to do all that is right, good, and pleasing in thy sight. And I've embraced that into my heart ever since. We should do that. Everyone here should do that. Embrace that into your heart right now. And don't ever let go. Don't ever forget it. Ponder your paths. What way will you go in the fork in the road? To the right or to the left? Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot far from evil, it says. You know, you can never be right with God if you've got a heart that is perverted. No. To try to do so without repentance is called hypocrisy. We must live above reproach, above sin, above the temptation of sin. We have all kinds of temptations around us today. Computers, TVs, things are attached to these things. Conversations in a crowd. There's always someone in the crowd somewhere that's going to find an angle to bring in some kind of a wicked thing to the conversation. Somewhere. All the suggestive content that's on the computer, that's on the TV today. Radio even. You've got to be so careful. Let's go now to Matthew, if you will. Matthew chapter 15. And we're still talking about the heart. And here we have Jesus here in 15 verse 1. What had happened up to this point, Jesus had not spent a lot of time in this area. He'd been spent most of his time in Galilee. There had been a delegation dispatched to investigate the words and work of the Lord, of this man called Jesus. They wanted to find out for themselves what was going on. Here it says what? Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were in Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. Well, poo, poo, poo. You know, I highly doubt that these religious leaders were overly concerned about hygiene. Do you? Do you think they were talking about hygiene? No. They were offended because why? They didn't observe the rigid rituals of tradition, which is what the devil wants you to do. to celebrate the rigid rituals of tradition today. Easter, Christmas, all these other things that come to serve is to distract you from serving the right true God. Amen? It goes on to say in verse 3, "But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" Now, this is kind of humorous. And I really like the way the Lord responds to this. And it goes on to say, "For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death." And they were so concerned about the ceremonial trivialities that the people were unclean. They denied them access to God by all these trivialities that they were so concerned with. They denied access, saying, "You can't do this, you can't do that." But then it goes on to say in verse 5, "But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, or by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor his father or his mother." Well, if they said that they're saying, in other words, what they're trying to say is, they said that if they had a gift, that it was from God, specially dedicated to him, then they claimed that the resources that were not available to help their parents. That's what that means. They claim that they would, well, it's a special gift from God, specially dedicated and devoted for God. Therefore, I can't help my loved ones. I can't help those in need. All the while, they keep it for themselves. Called greed. Okay, well, that's what that means. And the word of God says here, as the Lord said, "Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain," oh, did you see this? "In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." They're only interested in the external. External appeasement. An image. How others look at them. What others might think or say. Hypocrites. And he called the multitude and said unto them, "Hear and understand. Now that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man." Did you see that? "Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man." What comes out of the mouth reveals unclean and defiled hearts. It reveals dishonesty, greed of every kind, filth. In verse 12, what does it say? "Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?" Jesus knew their efforts would fail. Jesus knew that all that they were about to do and what they were thinking, what they were saying, what they were doing, he saw it as a plan to subvert the teachings of the Lord. He knew that it would fail under the weight of their legalism. In verse 13, "But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Because why? They were not rooted in God, and they had no roots in the truth. Some fell in shallow ground. Some fell in stony places. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. Are ye also yet without understanding? In other words, do you have dullness of hearing? Do not ye understand whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the drought? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications. None of that going on, is there, today? Thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are things which defile a man, but to eat and unwashed hands defileth not a man. So let's go now to a very well-known chapter in the Bible, James chapter 3. James chapter 3, on that note. And I want to direct your attention over to, let's go to verse 5. And it says here, even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Now, with that verse right there, I want to direct your attention quickly to Proverbs chapter 26, verse 18. Because it speaks of a person who does not consider the destructive power of their words. Let's just quickly go there, just quickly, and I want to read there. And in verse 18, maybe I need to read a little more than that, but we'll see here. But verse 18, it reads, and the madman who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man that deceiveth his neighbor, and saith, am I in sport? In other words, what he's saying is, like a careless madman says, I was only joking. Mm-hmm. I was only joking. Mm-hmm. You know, I've come across many people like that. And I knew instinctively, precisely, and immediately what was going on. I knew immediately that they weren't joking. Mm-hmm. I knew exactly what they were doing, exactly why. I knew it because the Lord showed me and revealed that to me. It was in my spirit, so heavy and so strong. I knew it. And the Lord shows me, He'll show you too. There no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, ooh, the strife ceaseth. Did you see that? Ah, it's a powerful one there. As coals are burning coals, and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Burning lips, the wicked heart, are like the potsherd covered with silver dross. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips. Did you see that? And layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not. For there are seven abominations in his heart. You know, I'm kind of reminded of the woman. I like this story. I've said it once before, and I've always liked it. That came to John Wesley and said, "You know, I think I've found my talent." You probably heard this before, for those who haven't. And she said, "I think my talent is saying exactly what's on my mind." And John Wesley went on to say, "Well, I don't think the Lord would mind if you buried that talent." I mean, I like that. I've always liked that. And it goes on now in James chapter, back in James chapter 3 now. Chapter 3, verse 6. "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among the members that defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell." That's where it comes from hell. It is set on fire from the pit of hell, from demons and devils who wish to destroy, kill, maim, hurt, and harm. Verse 7, "And every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind," but, in verse 8, "but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison." Now, it's a little matter. The little thing in your mouth there called the tongue that needs to be tamed. Because it comes from where? It's quickened from what? The heart. It starts right here, the thoughts, goes down into the heart, comes out of the mouth. That defileth the man. "Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and wherewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God? Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not to be." In other words, out of the same mouth, the same spirit. The same mouth that will flatter you is the same mouth that will curse you. Beware of people that flatter you. Beware of flatterers. "Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water for bitter?" Wow. You know, James is teaching us what here? That a man's words are what? Are reliable revelation of his own heart and character. What comes out of the mouth, it's in the heart. "Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs, so can a fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you?" Wow. Is there any man out there who is truly wise and faithful? I can tell you who the most wise person is in all the earth. The wisest person is those that know most about God, that know the Bible. "Who are wise and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of the good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom." Wow. With meekness and wisdom. That's a hard thing to find today. "But if ye have bitter envying," you know, if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. You remember Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, don't you? What happened to them? You become a living lie. You court death and disaster. You live to subvert the truth by destroying the truth, by lying tongues, by wicked thoughts, evil murmurings. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is what? Earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first what? Pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. In other words, if you're easily entreated, that's from above. If people can't talk to you, that's from beneath. If you can't be reasoned with, that's from below. If you can't be entreated, that's not from God. That's all there is to it. It's biblical. It's right here. In fact, I never wrote it here. The Lord wrote it. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Did you see that? Without partiality and without hypocrisy. That's pretty huge, ain't it? In the big scheme of things. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Not to troublemakers, but to peacemakers. Now, if you will go with me, now to 2 Chronicles. There, I had to set the tone with this to get to this place, to get to this point, to get to a story in the Bible about a man called Josiah, a man who in chapter 34, forgive me, go there if you will, 34. Josiah was the last king, godly king, that Israel had before going into exile. In fact, 12 years after he had died, Israel had been subdued. But here we have also the coming of Josiah, and he was prophesied 300 years prior. If you were to go to 1 Kings, you don't have to go there now, but if you were to go to 1 Kings chapter 13, 2, it would prophesy of his coming. And here we have the stage set. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was what? Wow. How many times do you read in the Bible where he says that which was right in the sight of the Lord? And walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Now, I look at four kings that come to mind right away. You have David, you have Hezekiah, Jehoshaphat, and you have Josiah. In my understanding of the Word of God, I believe the four greatest kings that they had was David, then Josiah, then Hezekiah, then Jehoshaphat, in that order. My own opinion. But those were the four kings that I thought were godly in Israel, that I read that were godly. And here now is a situation coming to play here. Because prior to this, Josiah had been 8 years old when he took over. His father Amon was a wicked man. Before him was Manasseh, who ruled 55 years in Israel. They had forgotten the law. They had the temple was not maintained, full of dust and debris, ignored, set aside, forgotten. And during that time, what we have, during this period, we have a warning from the prophet Zephaniah. If you will, go there. Zephaniah chapter 1. Zephaniah chapter 1. Go there if you will. Zephaniah, a man of God. Zephaniah's contemporaries in that time included Jeremiah, Nahum, the prophet, and quite possibly Habakkuk. And then there was a prophetess called Huldah as well. Somehow these were interrelated to each other. Zephaniah's name, of course, means what? The Lord protects. And here is a prophet known as the royal prophet in the Bible. He was a great grandson of King Hezekiah. And because of that, he was found preaching in the synagogues and temples, whereas Jeremiah was out in the street preaching to the people. Huldah was a prophetess preaching in the college area for women. This was a setting, and here it was. Zephaniah gave this warning from the Lord. As he preached in the temple courts, the high courts, and the synagogues, the king's courts. The word of the Lord which came unto Zephaniah, the son of Cushai, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah. I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. The great king, son, the grandson of King Hezekiah. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of heaven, the fishes and the sea, and the stumbling blocks of the wicked. And I will cut off the man from off the land, saith the Lord. In other words, he's going to be cleanly swept, utterly swept away, cut off and punished. I will also stretch out mine hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place, and the name of the Chemarims, and the priests. And it says here, because the priests were full of idolatry. But it says here in verse 5, and them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship and swear by the Lord, and that swear by Malcham. In other words, they were playing both sides of the fence. They were saying, I'm going to play both sides of the fence. I'm going to believe in Malcham, and I'm going to believe in the Lord. They thought they were safe there. But what? The Lord hates duplicity. It's an abomination to him. Hypocrisy his soul hated. Amen? It says here in verse 6, and them that are turned back from the Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord nor inquired of him. Wow. Yeah. Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. This was a warning for the time of Josiah. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice. He hath bid the guests. Oh, who were those guests? The Babylonians. That would come and run rampant over the land. You see, this is like the story in Luke 12:3, talking about that how that this rich man stored up all these wares of riches, but was not rich towards God. Was not rich towards God. They didn't seek after him. It says in verse 6. In verse 8. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord sacrifice, that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such that are clothed with strange apparel. Now they were clothed with this foreign dress. strange apparel. There was a promise of what? Destruction, total destruction. Not a single trace of sin or wickedness would be allowed to remain. It says here in where? Verse 9. In the same day also will I punish all those that leap on the threshold, which fill their master's houses with violence and deceit. In other words, this is zero tolerance policy. And it shall come to pass that day, saith the Lord, that shall be the noise of the cry from the fish gate, and the howling from the second, and a great crashing from the hills. Things had gotten so out of control. Scandalous events in the temple courts, housetops. Priests filled with idolatry. But it says here in verse 11, howl ye inhabitants of Maktish, for all the merchant people are cut down. All they that bear silver are cut off. And it shall come to pass at that time I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees, that they in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. This is what they were thinking. But you see, no sin can escape God's notice.
That's right.
There is a searchlight going on.
Yeah,
the searching candles of the conscience.
Yeah.
God's word.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Ghost. It searches what? The heart and the reins of the thoughts of man. That great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth it greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man, shall cry there bitterly. It goes on to talk about judgment here. The purpose of judgment, though, is why? Is for what? What reason? That they would turn from their sin and repent. That is the purpose. Now let's go back, if you will, to Josiah, Chronicles 34. And it says here now, in verse 4, and they break down the altars of Balaam. This is Josiah breaking down the altars of Balaam in his presence. This is the kind of heart of zeal that God is looking for, that were on high above them. He cut down the groves and the carved images and the molten images, and he brake in pieces and he made dust of them and showed it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. These were dead pagan priests that in Bethel, where their bodies were exhumed from the graves, and he burnt it upon the altars. In other words, to do that was an extreme desecration when you burn one's bones on the altars. It was an extreme act of desecration. So he exhumed these pagan priests who had done this thing, and he burnt their bones on the altar. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon the altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so he did in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali, and after their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and groves, and had beaten the graven images into powder, and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. During this period, during this time, the 10 tribes of Israel had gone into captivity because of what? Sin. Jeremiah at that time was out looking to bring them back during this period. Now in the 18th year of his reign, when they had purged the land, and meanwhile Zephaniah was in the synagogues and temples preaching, during this time. And now in the 18th year of the reign, when he had purged the land, and the house, he sent Shaphan, the house, the son of Azaliah, and Messiah, the Messiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Johaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. Josiah must have been 26 years old at this point. And when he had come to Hilkiah the high priest, now Hilkiah was the father of Jeremiah the prophet. And they came to Hilkiah the high priest. They delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites had kept. Meanwhile, the temple had long been neglected, buried in the sea of forgetfulness with this people. The Levites kept the doors and had gathered at the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim, and all the remnant of Israel, and all of Judah and Benjamin, and they returned to Jerusalem. Judah had drifted away so much that they forgot that there was ever a written law, a book of God's word. And they put in the hand of the workmen that the oversight of the house of the Lord, and they gave it to the workmen that wrought in the house of the Lord to repair and amend the house. Even to the artificers and builders they gave it, to buy hewn stone and timber and couplings, to the floor and houses which the kings of Judah had destroyed. They destroyed the temple. Like most churches today, they lack what? Spiritual maintenance. They neglect the true worship of God. They neglect the true word of God. That's where we're at today. And the men did the work faithfully. And the overseers of them were Jahath and Obadiah. That's another name, a big name. Obadiah. And the Levites and the sons of Merariah and Zechariah. Another big name. And Meshushalam and the sons of the Kohathites to set it forward, and the other of the Levites, all that could skill of instruments of music. In other words, worship to the Lord was viewed as a major priority. That was huge back then, and it's huge today. It should be huge today. The worship of God. Also, they were over the bearers of burdens. Oh, the pillars. That's what that means. But spiritually speaking, what does that mean? Bearers of burdens were pillars. But you have bearers of burdens today among people who are spiritual. We are to bear each other's burdens. Amen? Amen? Okay, and we're overseers of all that wrought the work in any manner of service. And of the Levites were scribes and officers and porters. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah, the father of Jeremiah, the prophet, the priest, he was a high priest, found the book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. In other words, it would have been the Torah. And there was to be a copy of the book of the law next to the Ark of the Covenant. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. Shaphan being like the secretary for Josiah. And Shaphan carried the book of the king to the king and brought the king word back again, saying, all that was committed to thy servants, they do it. Here it was. They found a book. the long neglected book of the law, the Word of God. And Shaphan carried a book back to Josiah and didn't even seem to know what it was. And they have gathered together the money that was found. Now he's talking to Josiah right now. And the house of the Lord, and they have delivered it under the hand of the overseers, into the hand of the workmen. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. I bet some of the words, no doubt, that came to his ears would have been found in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28, I just want to go over there right quick and read what Josiah must have heard in the ears as Shaphan read that book of the law, where it says here, thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people. Thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long. And there shall be no might in thine hand. The fruit of the land and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up. And thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always, so that thou shalt be mad. For the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see, it says here, the Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set over thee, unto a nation which thou nor thy fathers have known. And there thou shalt serve other gods, wood and stone. Thou shalt become an astonishment and a proverb, and a byword among all nations, whither the Lord lead thee. Now let's go back. This is what he must have heard as Shaphan read the words of this book to Josiah. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. He rent his clothes sore. He couldn't believe what he was hearing. This was the day that things had to change. Do you see the heart of Josiah? Do you see the zeal for God? The zeal to have a right heart? And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Abadon, and the son of Micah, and Shaphan, the scribe, and Asaiah, a servant of the king, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me. He must have been so astonished that he didn't know what to do. He told them to go seek the Lord for him. Rending the clothes was a clear expression of what? Of great horror and astonishment. And it says here, concerning the words of the book that is found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord, to do after the book that is written in the book. And here we have, and Hilkiah, and they that the king had appointed, went to Huldah the prophetess. Now here it was, Huldah was somehow related to Jeremiah, and she was teaching in the colleges for women. Meanwhile, Jeremiah was on the street and the highways and the byways preaching to the people. And there was Zephaniah in the king's courts and Nahum somewhere in between there. So they had many prophets at that time, but he went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, the son of Hasera, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college. And they spake to her to that effect. You know, this is how revival is marked. by such spiritual awakenings. When you rend your heart to the Lord over sin, over with sorrow and repentance for the wrongs that are done in this earth, in our own lives. This is where revival comes in. And it's a great expression of what? A conviction for sin. Huldah was more than likely available as she was in the college. She was one who was available for Josiah, but Josiah more than likely also thought that she would have more compassion with the situation at hand. Not that she would rule or have a word by her own authority, but she sought the Lord. And she answered them, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell ye the men that sent ye to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the curses that are written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah." The doomsday clock was about to strike midnight on Judah. It was about to strike. "Because they have forsaken me, they have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be poured out upon this place and shall be not be quenched. Yet we have a God who is faithful to judge as much as he is merciful for us to repent, that we would repent and be right with him. And as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall ye say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, that thou heardest his words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord." He would live and die in what? God's favor. He would live, but because of this, during his time of 31 years, he would be spared the judgment in that land. Would be spared. "Behold, I will gather thee into thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to the grave in peace. Neither shall thine eye see all the evil that I will bring upon this place and upon the inhabitants of the same." So they brought the king word again. After he had heard the word of God, what did he do? He set out to call a national repentance for Israel and Judah. The king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and in the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests and the Levites, and all the people, great and small. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. This was a great moment for Israel. This was a moment when, here it was, as the king sat there among the people, and all the people rose and heard the word of God. And the king stood in his place and made covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. He held their feet to the fire, in other words. He held them accountable. He held them responsible. What are we doing today? We better hold each other accountable. If we're going to be found righteous in God's eyes. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. Hey, like Moses before him, he caused them to stand in agreement, didn't he? To observe and to obey God's word. And Josiah took away all the abominations out of the countries that proportioned to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. All his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. In closing, go to Psalms 119, verse 10. There, in closing, I just want to read a few verses now. Because this is the heart of Josiah, as it was with the heart of David, King David. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, I might not sin against thee. Did you know that when you hide the Lord's word in your heart, you're not more apt to sin, you're more apt to obey? When you hide the Lord's word in your heart, it's going to convict you and convince you. It's going to say, wait a minute, that thought that you just thought just now, it's wrong. That word that you said to that person over there is wrong. Go make it right. That thing that you did over there is wrong. Repent. Get right with me. I hid in my heart. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. He counted it as a rich thing. I will meditate it in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. I will not forget thy word. As it was hidden, away, forgotten in that temple. But now he has put it in our hearts. He has written it on our hearts, the word of God. Amen?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise God for his word and for his testimony. Praise the Lord for his convicting power, for his forgiveness, for his mercy, grace, and truth. The forgiveness of sins is still there. So praise God. I just want you to know that there's a place at the cross. There's still a place at the foot of the cross to repent, to get right with God, to tarry in prayer, to linger in the presence of God, praising and worshiping. Amen? Seek his face as Josiah did. Seek his ways. Be found righteous when the Lord comes back for his own. Be found in the way. The Lord says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to me but by my, but what? Through me. No man cometh to the Father but through me. So we need to go through Jesus. There's no many ways, as Obama claimed. There's only one way. Through repentance. Through the blood, through Jesus, through the Spirit of God. The one door, the one way, the straight and narrow. That's the way of life. Yeah. Praise God. Well, why don't we go to number 15 in the chorus, the windows of heaven. 15 in the chorus book, The Windows of Heaven. The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. He gave me my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. Now I'm fasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. Okay, Shirley? Ready? The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. Now I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. I gave him a robe of pure white. Now I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. Be dismissed unto prayer. Amen. Praise God.